picked a piece, since we don't have any Eish Kodesh on Lech Lecha and Vayera, or we don't even have a piece in the Derech HaMelech on Vayera, or Lech Lecha and Vayera, so I picked a piece that I thought would resonate with us as B'nai Yeshiva, and it would connect very nicely to Dani and Avi Siyam from earlier this week, what we learned in Rabbi Nachman, and the many more Siyumim that we hope to make this year, Mirtz Hashem. Okay, so it's actually a piece in Parshas Eikev. So you'll say to me, Parshas Eikev, what are we doing in Parshas Eikev? This is Parshas Lech Lecha. So let me tell you a vart from the Chafetz Chaim, which will give us even more rishus to learn this piece. Not that we need rishus to learn this piece, but, you know, again, you'll see the Rabbi Nachman connection to what we learned in Sicha Saran very readily. But let me give you a Parsha connection, because this is the time of the week where we think about the Parsha together through the eyes of the Tzaddikim. So let me share with you a vart from the Chafetz Chaim. The end of Parshas Noach, it says the following. It says, "Vayikach." I'm just reading out of the Chumash. "Vayikach Terach es Avram beno, ve'es Lot ben Haran ben beno, ve'es Sarai kalaso eishes Avram beno, ve'yetsu itom me'or kastim l'leches arzo Kanaan." Terach took his family, and where were they heading? To the Holy Land. They were heading to arzo Kanaan. Vayavo ad Haran, and they came to Haran, vayeshu sham, and they stayed there. So Chafetz Chaim points out, you see the difference between a tzaddik and a not tzaddik. You see the difference between a terach and an avram. Terach says, "I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm making aliyah," and he sets out. Vayetsu itam yor kastim alo leches arza kanan. Vayavo ad Haran, vayeshu sham. He stops off in Haran, and he spends the rest of his life in Haran. He never makes it to Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu, lechecha me'artzecha, el aretz asha'areka, to the land that I will show you, Avram Avinu goes, and he finishes the job. And the Chafetz Chaim, it's quoted in the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, Chafetz Chaim said, that's the difference between a person who's sincerely motivated and a person who's less sincerely motivated. A person who's dedicated to Torah values and a person who's not. A person who, you know, who doesn't have Torah values, so they may set out to do something, but they don't have that necessity. Nothing motivates them entirely that they have to finish the job. But when you get a tzivoy from Hashem, lech lecha me'artzecha, when Hashem tells you, go to Eretz Kanaan, go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Eretz Yisrael. You make it all the way. Right? A tzaddik knows how to finish the job. And that theme is what the Piazetz Rebbe is going to teach us about today. Avram Avinu, again, is the one who knows how to finish the job. He starts the job and he finishes the job. That's part of the reason why the Akedah was so confusing for him. The next week's parsha, Akedah's Yitzchak, Hashem calls off the Akedah, and Avram's like, but I got to finish the job. Can I at least, maybe I can make a little cut? Maybe I can draw a little blood? I don't want my efforts to be in vain. And Hashem says, no, you don't even realize how much you've already finished the job. You've completely finished the job.
David, here, come on.
Completely finished the job. Okay, so Jews need to know how to finish the job. Not just to start a project and then to be wishy-washy, but to know how to finish the job. Again, which is something that we saw in our Rebbe when he spoke about what? When he spoke about Avraham versus Noach. Right? Noach needs support. And the importance of being an Am K'she Oref. Remember the piece about being an Am K'she Oref? To being a stiff-necked people. Right? That we're unwavering. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. I'm God and I don't change. So a Jew needs to be a Jew through and through. And obviously, you know, part of what we're hinting to here is that it's important to come to shiur every day, and it's important to come on time every day, and it's important to take the learning seriously every day. And the more that a person has consistency in their avodas Hashem, the more of an eved Hashem they are. I'm not saying that as a critique, God forbid, but it's just a fact. Okay, so let's learn inside. Says the Rabbi on page Kuf Pei Beis in Derech HaMelech, Parshas Eikev. Pasuk says towards the very end of Parshas Eikev, "Ki em shamur sishmurun es kol ha-mitzvah hazos." If guard, you shall guard this entire mitzvah. La'asosa v'chulu, la'ava v'chulu, la'leches v'chol drachav v'chulu. And one of the many psukim in Chumash Devarim that sound like this. Keep the mitzvahs, be dedicated to the mitzvahs, be diligent in the mitzvahs. And love Hashem, cling to Hashem. And Pasuk also talks about dveikus, walking in Hashem's ways. Benavin. We need to understand. Haksiv b'sof ha-pasuk l'leches b'chol d'rachav haynu kol ha-mitzvos. The pasuk concludes by telling us that we have to strive to be complete Jews, wholesome Jews all the way through, all the mitzvos. V'lama nemar ha-mitzvah ha-zos v'la'asosa lashon yachid. So why? In the beginning of the pasuk, does it talk about ha-mitzvah ha-zos? Sounds like it's talking about a particular mitzvah. La'asosa, to perform it, not to perform all of them. Right? So why? Again, if the goal is to keep all of the mitzvos, so why does it begin by saying Shamur Tishmaru Nes Kol HaMitzvah Hazos? Right? It does say Kol, but it also says HaMitzvah Hazos. It makes it sound like it's a singular mitzvah that we're perhaps describing. So why is it Lashon Yachid if Hashem wants us to keep everything? That's the simple question on our pasuk, and we won't come back to it for a long time. So he quotes a humorous medrash. Okay? Don't try this one at home. Okay, especially for the married chaver in the room. Avnam Isa b'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma Parshas Nasa. The medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Nasa tells us, Vayihi biyom chalos Moshe. The pasuk says in Parshas Nasa, Perek Zayin pasuk Aleph. It was when Moshe completed the building of the Mishkan. It's an amazing Rashi over there, and it's related to this idea as well. Who built the Mishkan? Tzalel, Ahaliyav. Who built the Mishkan? Vayihi b'yom chalos Moshe. It was when Moshe finished building the Mishkan. Says Rashi on Chumash, not quoted on the page, but you just know this Rashi. It's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, Vayihi b'yom chalos Moshe is because even though Bezalel and Ahaliyav were the primary two overseers of the Mishkan, the architects of the Mishkan, but Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, was Moser Nefesh for the Mishkan even more, and therefore it's... he gets the credit as if he did it. Right? The one who sort of fits the job gets the credit for the job also. That's why the Talmud Yerushalmi says, in Psachim, Maschil Mitzvah, a person who begins a mitzvah, Omrim lo Marok, we say to him Marok, which means finish. Finish the job. It's very important to know how to see a task all the way beginning to end, to have an idea, and to be able to formulate that idea, concretize that idea, and to bring that idea to the world, right? Chachma Bina and Das. Chachma is a kernel of an idea. Bina is the expansion of the idea. Das is the solidification, the attachment to that idea, to make it a reality. So it was when Moshe finished building the Mishkan, says the Medrash, Vayihi, Vay Bayom Kalos Moshe. Vay is a lashon of what? Woe to the day the Mishkan was finished. What do you mean? It's the greatest celebration. Oy vay, the Mishkan is finished, being built. Why is that oy vay? Listen to this Medrash. There was a king whose wife was troublesome. I wouldn't use the word annoying to describe a queen, chas v'shalom, but she was a little bit difficult. Amar HaMelech, so the king said to her, "Asi lach porphyra, make for yourself a porphyra." Porphyra is like a very chash of a royal garment. Right. He said, go make yourself a beautiful, take as much money as you need, buy whatever materials you need, and go crochet something. So she goes and she begins to put together this beautiful garment. She's very busy. She's working with a designer, and she's working on putting it together. And the king finds, while she's so busy making this garment, they didn't get into one little marital dispute. Nishlma hamalacha. So she finishes the work, and she brings it to the king. The king looks at it and says, "Wow, honey, that's beautiful. What a magnificent garment." And then the king's like, "Ay, ay, ay." So she says, "Whoa, what's wrong with my garment?" Amru lo ishto, "Mazel duni, tarachti es atzmi lasos ritzoncha. I did exactly what you said. What's the vai? You said you liked it. Vata omr vai vai." So Amar Allah, he says to her, "Hamalacha me'od yashra be'enai. It's beautiful. You did such a beautiful job. Amnam, however, kolz man shayis osekes v'malacha lo ayisa ko'eses v'lo mikanteres osi. While you were busy doing your thing, you didn't bother me at all. We didn't get into any fights. And ata... but now, she'at penuya, now that you have all this free time, maybe now you're going to anger me." Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did Hashem ask us to build? It's a very sad, first of all, it's humorous, and it's a little bit controversial, and it's a little bit sad. Why did Hashem ask us to build the Mishkan? Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, right? Give me a place where we can spend time together. But maybe Hashem was just trying to keep us out of trouble. He's like, go take on a building project, you know? Go do an arts and crafts project, so that way you'll stop bothering me. It's very sad. Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Zman Shehayu Banai Oiskim B'Mishkan, Lo Hayu Malinim. When the Jews are busy building a Mishkan, no one's complaining. Klal Yisrael and Hashem, we get along just fine. But now that the Mishkan is complete, Ata Yaschilu, now the troubles might start up. Lakach Amar, Vayihi B'Yom Kalos Moshe, Vay Hayu B'Yom Kalos Moshe. There's a certain heavenly krechs. Hashem let out a sigh on the day the Mishkan was completed. Because now the Jewish people are going to get bored again. And when a person is bored, so then they get themselves into trouble. Okay? Rosh Hashanah fly. You know the story with the Chazon Ish? Yeah? It's determined on Rosh Hashanah that fly would bother us. Okay. The Kvar Amra HaGemara. So let's take a look. The Gemara tells us, Mishnayis really, and the Gemara elaborates on it, the Maseches Ksubis is the Mishnah. Shabbatola mevia lidei shiamum lidei avera. There's two Mishnayis in Ksubis. One Mishnah says that batala, not having anything to do, leads to zima, which means lewd behavior. And one Mishnah says batala leads to shiamum. Batala leads to boredom, right? Which is interesting. Batala leads to boredom. We would say batala is boredom. No, batala, wasting time, will make you bored. You'll feel bored. Or you'll end up doing averos. Okay? That's what the Mishnah says. That's what the Gemara elaborates on in Ksubis. Aval gam yishe'eno holech batal legamri. But it's not only talking about a person, listen carefully, says our Rebbe. It's not only talking about a person who mamish does nothing all day. You know, is just binging YouTube videos all day. That's not what it's talking about. That's not the type of batala. That batala obviously is very destructive and can get you into a lot of trouble. But we're not talking about someone who's batala gamrei. Im avodaso hein v'lav biyado, rotza oved v'lo meitora, rotza chadal. As af im lidei aveir v'lidei shiyumum lo yavo, gam elatov kashash yavo. We're not just talking about a person who, again, is mamish wasting the whole day. We're talking about a person exactly like we learned last week in Parshas Noach, who's not an Am K'shei Oref, who's not committed to something. Right? His avodaso is little this, little that. Sometimes he wants to learn, rotza chadal, sometimes he refrains from learning. Right? And even if he's not a Baal Aveira, because he comes to Shir
on... interrupt you, the paper?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Oh, there.
Okay. Even though he comes to Shir enough that he's enough of a Ben Torah that he's not, you know, getting into real trouble, but he's also bored. He's not excited about his Avodas Hashem because he's not in it. He's not 100% in it. He's not invested in it. Right? It's very difficult. Even if he doesn't come to Shiyamum, even if he doesn't come to boredom, but also to the Tov, the ultimate goodness, it's also Kasha Shiyavo. He's not going to come to the ultimate achievement of himself. And therefore he says in the next line, take a look, Ha'ish muchrach lios nitvas kulo ba'avoda. That's the line. Ha'ish muchrach lios nitvas kulo ba'avoda. A person needs to be entirely, nitvas literally means like grabbed, seized. He needs to be totally immersed in his avoda. Lo shehu tofes osa bein rotza bein lo rotza. Not that he does it if he wants, he doesn't want, he wakes up every morning to decide, am I in the mood for shir today? Not in the mood for shir today. Am I in the mood for davening today? Not in the mood for davening today. Am I in the mood to be a baal avoda today? Am I in the mood to just, you know, have an off day? Muchvechu lavor v'yefshar lo sheyelech batel. He's the type of person who says, it's of necessity, I have to get to work, a Jew's got to work, I got to do what I got to do. And it's not possible for me to be batel. And again, batel here is saying, not batel legamri. We're talking about a person who's just not invested, he's not committed. He's happy to like listen to Shir, but he's not looking to chop the Gemara. He's not looking to be able to read it on his own. So that's a lack of investment. And it becomes hard to be a real Eved Hashem if you're not nitvas kulo b'avoda, if you're not totally seized by the avoda, if you're not committed to the things that you're doing. Right, like Rabbi Nachman taught us this week. If you're not mindful of the words that are coming out of your mouth when you're davening, so what are we doing? And if you don't believe that you can learn a lot of Torah, so you'll never learn a lot of Torah. You got to just throw yourself into it. Says the Piyazetz at the bottom paragraph. Yesha Oved Kazeh Ba Minachutz. Sometimes a person is looking for someone else to motivate them. Right? That their avoda is generated minhachutz, from the outside. Kigon harav, harodes talmido, like a Rebbe who pushes his Talmud. Like a Rebbe who forces his Talmud. Right? He threatens him, you're going to get a bad grade. Yells at him. Aval imrak minhachutz ve'ein das ve'ratzon ha-Talmud ba'atzmo mishtabed be'emes. But if it's only the Rebbe who's telling the Talmud what he should do, but the Talmud doesn't have a healthy sense of what he wants to do, if he doesn't have a das and ratzon of his own, right, to the point that he says, I don't want to waste time. Right? I don't want to waste my time. I'm not looking to waste my time. Right? I'm not waiting. I don't have to wait for my Rebbe to tell me, you know, what to do. I'm allowed to look at a Tosfos that my Rebbe didn't assign. I'm allowed to do that. Because I'm thirsty for more. I don't need to wait for someone to tell me exactly do this or do that. Lo yoil lo harbe lahalos el Talmud ulegalos es nafsho lakasher bekedusha. It's going to be very difficult for a person who only is motivated by other people telling him what to do. It's going to be very hard for a person to reveal the inner essence of his soul and to attach himself to a life of kedusha. And therefore, listen to this line again. Va'ikar hu. Shemeatzmo yishaved ha'ish v'yachavosh es daito v'ritzono la'avoda. The main thing is that a person, me'atzmo, self-motivated, inspired, self-inspired. Of course people inspire us, but at the end of the day, you choose. You're a Baal Bechira. You choose what you want it to be. The main thing is that me'atzmo, from within oneself, he is desired to be meshabed himself. Yachavosh es daito, says the Rebbe. What is yachavosh es daito? To capture, or to, right? The same way that the word lachvosh is like to saddle it, you know? Lachvosh es chamoro, he saddled his donkey, it says in the Chumash. Right? So to saddle yourself, right? To saddle your mind, to force your mind, that this is what I want, this is where I want to be. To force my mind, I want to be an Eved Hashem. U'kishiroim bachrim, sha'achrei shegamru limud ha'ora. Sometimes, says the Rebbe, who had his own yeshiva, he opened his yeshiva Das Moshe. Sometimes Rabbi says, I see Bachrim, I see Talmidim, who sometimes when they finish learning Hora, right? They finish Smicha, right? They graduated, you know? We had a big celebration, a Chag HaSmicha, and we hung up posters and banners all along the sides of the buildings, and it was a big celebration. And now you're official now. It's official, you're officially a rabbi. You finished the course, right? Congratulations. Alachareisha Boel Tachlisam, Hachomrit, right? Or they finish whatever, again, whatever they're working on. Shekibu lavo ela, whatever curriculum they set out for themselves, they finished it. Al yedei torasam, vaz kvarhim batelim. Right? So I'm done. Good. What time does shir ends at 1 o'clock? Okay, good. So the rest of the afternoon, if I have a lot of classes, I have a lot of classes. But in the afternoon, where like I have a lot of free time, so I'm done. I'm done. I signed up for BMP. BMP ends at 1. Good. I'm done. Done for the day. Gamarnu. Finished. But then I'm batel. And if I'm batel, if I don't say, how can I use my time more meaningfully? Then it's indicative that that person, at the time that what? At the time that he was learning with asmada, he was also kind of just forced into it. Because, again, only when he's following the curriculum, when he's part of the program, does he actually do what he's supposed to do. It's not coming from a place of choosing it. It's only when he has to do it that he does it, right? And that's very unfortunate. Ve'ein lekavos meham aliyah gedola. And from such bachrim, you cannot expect to see great success, because it's a program, it's a class, it's a curriculum. Aval ma lanu ledaber me'osim etalmidim. Shasara shanos avoda lohu ilu atzlam. And what about people again who've been doing this for 10 years? They've been living this way. Kama saras Shanim chaya adam. How many tens of years does a person have in their life? I've had four so far. I'm 40 years old. How many more tens of years do I have left? I lived 120. The Rebbe's talking to Bachram, he's saying, if you're not inspired now, if these years, the choicest of years, right, when life, even though it seems like it's overwhelming, is relatively easy compared to, so to speak, real life, real responsibilities, more responsibilities. So man nidaber od uman nikave od mehem. If I can't get into it now, if I can't find a way to truly immerse myself in it now, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you leave yeshiva? You think someone's always going to wake you up in the morning for davening? You think someone's going to tell you you have to learn? It's a choice that you're going to make. The Rebbe gives a very strong... What I love about the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe, and if you've ever learned the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it's very kedai to learn. Chovas HaTalmidim is when I first realized the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe is a master at saying strong things and really demanding a lot from us in a way that's very loving. It doesn't hurt. Sometimes a person says something strong. Like I told you that story earlier this week. When that Rav came to Yeshiva's Kol Torah, right, and he was telling everyone has to be a Lamdin, and it was hurting. It was hurting that Bachar who says, I'm not a Lamdin. The Piyaz Etzner Rebbe, because there's a sense of how much he loves you, he can tell you, you're a great person, and I'm not going to allow you to be an average person. And even though you feel like, oh, it's such a big responsibility, but he believes in you. It's very encouraging. It's strong. He says sometimes very honest and strong things, like he's saying right now. If you can't get into it when you're in yeshiva, so when do you expect to get into it? God willing, when you're married and you have children, you have bills to pay, and you have many more pressures in life. That's when you're going to finally get into it. That's when you're going to become self-motivated. Now's the time to choose it. He says, four lines from the bottom of the first page. Yesh ish menafeach begechavim, kedei sheyizbaru v'yedalku me'atzmam. A person is menafeach. A person blows on a coal in order to what? In order that it should flare up, that it should, right? You blow on the fire to get it going, get it to start to burn on its own. Aval ha'im ya'amod kach b'chol ha'shol she'tzvichem lidlok v'yinafeach b'hem. But when you're starting the fire, you got to blow it a little bit to get it going, right? But imagine if what? Imagine if it never took hold and you have to stand there the entire time. You're trying, can you imagine? Our barbecue at home, when I turn it on, sometimes like it doesn't, like the back part of it doesn't catch. So I blow on it and, you know? But imagine if I had to stand there the whole time I'm, you know, grilling a piece of chicken, the whole time I had to stand there as I'm grilling. Ridiculous. At a certain point, you hope that it catches on its own and it can burn on its own. So a Rebbe has to what? A Rebbe has to blow some life. People outside of us have to get us going. You know? You need something you need that match to strike the fire. It's not going to burn on its own, completely on its own. But ad shetehei shall have us ole me'ala. Aaron HaKohen lights the neros of the menorah until they burn brightly on their own. Meaning, at a certain point, they have to burn brightly on their own. So says the Rebbe, everyone understands you have to blow on the hot coals to get them going. But should a person stand there for hours, the entire time that he needs the coals to be inflamed, should he have to stand there blowing on them the whole time? Anu nedaber ata me'osam etalmidim. I'm speaking, says the Rebbe, to those students. Shebe'emes rotim lahavir es nafsham. I'm talking to those people who say that I want to kindle the fire inside of myself. I want to be an inspired Jew. I want to be an accomplished person. I want to live my life in a meaningful way. I'm talking to the type of person who wants to get into it. The Rebbe is saying, because that's the Rebbe saying, I can't. There's only so much I can give you. At a certain point, you have to decide: Do I want to be into this? Achiu mechurachim uvakulam yishtabedu. Till they accept it as a sense of necessity. It has to be this way. I cannot live any other way. I have to immerse myself in this. Turn to the top of the next page. V'hinei roim shemisha lo made stam. So now the Rebbe says something again. You'll see it's very much connected to what we learned in Rabbi Nachman. A person who learns stam. Ein daito v'ritzono mishubadim kol kach, k'mishin dochek es atzmo ligmor eizem esechta. You can't compare a person who says whatever we get up to, you know, whatever we finish, whatever lines we read, whatever tosos we do, however many dafim we cover, right? Whatever it is, I'm fine with it. I come along for the ride. That's called learning stam. Right? That's called learning stam. It's a lack of seriousness. Rav Weinberger always quotes the Vart. I think it's from the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz. I think so. That it says when Avram was digging wells and Yitzchak was redigging the wells, because it says Vayistamum haplishtim. The plishtim clogged up the wells, right? And Yitzchak goes back and he's redigging the wells. So Vayistamum means to, right? Sasso means closed, sealed up. But the tzaddikim explained that Vayistamum is also a lashon of stam, right? That the plishtim make everything stam. What does it mean, stam? They suck the life out of things. Everything's just plain. Nothing's exciting. What a plishtim. Plishtim are associated throughout Tanakh as people who have a certain leitzanis, almost like an amalek-like leitzanis to them. They're associated with, they're leitzim. What's the nature of a leitz? With leitzanis, a person could tear something. You think you're doing something really important, a leitz makes fun of it, says, nah, it's not so chashuv. Not so important. Not such a big accomplishment. Right? That leitz could be a person in the world, that leitz could be an ideology in the world, that leitz could be your own yitzhar, saying, ah, nah. You're trying to like get really, stam. The yistamum plishtim, the plishtim, that the mockery inside of oneself turns everything, makes everything stam, makes everything plain, right? So there's a person who learns stam, whatever, yeah, I learn, yeah. What do you do? Who shir are you in? What mesech are you learning? Doesn't really want to like know it. He knows it enough. He knows enough to say, I'm learning makos, I'm learning the first parak. He'd say, you know, say over a little bit, a line or two. But it's not the same as a person who's dochich it's asmal, a person who pushes himself. I want to make a siyum. I want to finish the mesechta. Ukol shekein mi kamisha rotza ligmor hora. Or a person says, I don't want to just finish the mesechta, right? I want to get smicha. Are you planning on being a rabbi? No. But I want to make a commitment to learning for a number of years. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. I'm going into finance. But I want to accomplish more. Why did I graduate? What? I graduate college and now I'm done? Maybe I should take off a year before law school and learn for a year. Right, why? How does that fit into your career path? It depends what my career is. If my career is being an Eved Hashem, it fits into my career path. Right, if my career path is I want to be defined as a lawyer for the rest of my life, so I guess it doesn't fit into my career path. So you can't compare, says the Rebbe, a person who's just, he's casual about his life, to the person who says, I want to keep striving for greatness. Sha'az kulo shakua umeshubat belimoy. He learns differently. Every line that he learns, he reads it with a greater energy and excitement. Ve'efsher zeh meramiz lanu ha-medrash. So, Chaver, let's go back to that medrash, that funny medrash that we learned. Vayihi biyom chalos. It was when Moshe finished building the Mishkan, and the medrash said, Vayihi is a lashon of vay, oyvei. What's the oyvei? Es ha-mishkan asu l'shem Hashem shi'ishkon bahem. They made the Mishkan to what? To bring Hashem into their lives. But what happens next? Okay, no, the building's up. We have an opening ceremony. Mishkan's open for business. What happens next? V'hayim achar shehukam ha-mishkan kvar lo avdu chas v'shalom es Hashem u'ma'im kein ha-mashal ligmar b'melechas ha-purfira. So the P.S.S. Rebbe says, I don't understand the mashal. When we built the Mishkan, we stopped serving Hashem? What was the mashal? The mashal was the king told his wife to go make a fancy garment, and as long as she was busy making the garment, then they had shalom bias. And then when she was done making the garment, right? So then he was worried that she's going to be bored and they're going to start fighting again. So I don't understand. When we built the Mishkan, after we built the Mishkan, what, that was it? We were done serving Hashem? The Avoda was over? How does the mashal fit with the Mishkan? Opening the Mishkan, finishing the Mishkan is just when things got started. It's not when things end. As kavanas ha-medrash einanu yodin. The true kavanah of the medrash, we don't really know, says the Rebbe. Avalanu merames, but I think what it's saying to us, there was a sense of what? Wanting to finish the project of the Mishkan. What the Medrash is revealing to us is that when they took on the project of the Mishkan, they were very dedicated to seeing that project through. And that was very chashuv. That mindset is very chashuv. When you have a goal, and you're moving towards that goal, and you're committed, and you're going to see it through from beginning to end. Again, like we started with, when Terach leaves to go to Chara, to go to Canaan, he doesn't see it through. He goes to Haran and he stops there. When Avram leaves to go to Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. Vayavo Eretz Canaan, Pasuk says. He sets out to go and he comes to Eretz Canaan. He makes it to Canaan. And that's the sign of a person who's dedicated. So Moshe Rabbeinu, or Hashem, when he sees Bnei Yisrael building the Mishkan, he says, wow, look at that. Look, they really want to make a siyum on the Mishkan. But the danger is, what happens when it's over? Right? So I made the siyum. Right? So when I say Hadron Alach, do I mean it? I would love to do it again. I would start all over again. There's an amazing Vart from Rav Soloveitchik. It's based on something I think the Avudra Ham says. Why do we say Adon Olam at the end of davening? We also said Adon Olam at the beginning of davening. I think the Levush, maybe the Levush brings it. Rav Soloveitchik, it's in one of Rav Shechter's Svarim from Rav Soloveitchik. I think it's the Levush. Why do we say Adon Olam at the end of davening? We said Adon Olam at the beginning of davening. You know what we're saying? When we finish davening, we're saying davening was so enjoyable. It was such a pleasure that I wish I could start the whole thing over again. I wish I could go back to Adon Olam and start davening over again. So ask yourself, is that how I feel? When I finish davening, do I say, good? Shkoyach. Shoyin gedavend. Yoytzei. Right? Or do I say, I have other responsibilities in the world, but in theory, right? Like the Gemara says, halavai, that I should daven all day long. David HaMelech, v'ani tefila, I am tefila. I always want to be davening. It's not a chore, it's not something on my checklist. I check it off when I finish the job. So when Bnei Yisrael were building the Mishkan, their whole body was in it. Their chushim were in it. The Yitzhara couldn't start up with them because they were so focused on the project. While they were involved in it, they were really steiging, attached to Hashem. And that's the inyan of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. But the Vai is what happens when you finish the project. So again, if you're really a motivated person, you take on a new project. Our Rebbe from last year, the Avodas Yisrael, the Halig HaKadosh Tzur Magi, lived a relatively long life despite being a very sickly person. I told you this once. And he said, How was I Zocha to live? He said, because I always, whenever I was approaching the end of a particular spiritual project, I always accepted upon myself a new spiritual project. I never gave off the impression to Hashem that I was done. Because I was sickly, and B'derech HaTeva, I should have been done. I should have died. But by always having more to do, by being a driven person in that way, wanting to accomplish more, that's how I was able to live a long life. When Lubavitcher Rebbe turned 70, you know what he did for his 70th birthday? You'd think, you know, they said, Rebbe, take a vacation, you know, you've been working nonstop, straight for it. Mamish, around the clock, straight. Never once took a vacation. You know what the Rebbe did? In honor of turning 70, he says, you know what? In honor of turning 70, I'm going to open 70 new institutions of Torah and Avodah this year. Right? He felt a greater achayus. For 70, I'm going to do 70. Kolim, mikvos, kosher pizza stores, I don't know, whatever it was. Right? I'm going to open, there's going to be 70 new makomos of Shechina in this world in honor of turning 70. It's unbelievable. Most people are 70, winding down, retire, move to Florida, you know, shoot a little golf, a little dafyomi on the side, you know, go for walks on the boardwalk, whatever it is. To be such a committed person, it's an unbelievable thing. Says the Rebbe in the next paragraph, B'sefer Toldos Hanuflos, Isa Shapam Bikshu Avreichem Mikvod Kedushas Adoni Avi Zakeini HaKadosh Mimogel Nitza. I told you that the Piazesta Rebbe was a descendant of the Tzaddik known as the Seraph, the fiery one from Mogel Nitza. So they asked him, some Avreichim once asked him, they said, Rebbe, tell us, Shiyadabar Imahim Chasidus. Teach us Chasidus. What is Chasidus? Ready for this line? The Heshev Lahem, he said to them, you want to be a Chasid? I'll tell you to be a Chasid. The Heshev Lahem Bekodsho, Shilehispalel, Vililmod, Vilolalechez Botel, He ha-chasidus. Chasidus is not a particular type of shtreimel or a particular type of bekesha. Chasidus is not a particular type of fish that you like to eat Friday night. Chasidus is davening and learning and using your time in a productive fashion. That is chasidus. That's what we learned this week, no? Rabbi Nachman taught us about davening. Rabbi Nachman taught us about learning. We're learning how to be a chasid. If I daven in a real way, then I'm a chassid. If I learn in a real way, I'm a chassid. That's chassidus. You want madrigos, you want fancy things, fancy kavanas. Right? Particular way of speaking, that's not chassidus. Chassidus is davening and learning and not wasting your time. Ki yesoda chassidus hu. Shelo nasa Torah mitzvos beguf bilvad. The goal is not to be a robot who just happens to do mitzvos and a little bit of learning. The goal is not to daven with your lips or even with your mind. Rakam b'nefesh. Beautiful. To daven with your soul. Ba'ava. To daven with love. To daven, he says, v'heslavus. Lachain. Kol zman shenafshu shol odom niris. V'acher kach matmina es atzmo. V'shuv niris. V'shuv nitmenes. When the neshama is playing like hide and seek, it pops out and then it goes away, and it pops out and then it goes away. It's here one day, it's not here the next day. You're into it, you're not into it, you're into it, you're not into it. Pam rotza, pam lo rotza, yef shlo lizgalas vavoda. Then the neshama can never become the oved that it wants to be. V'rak ishakavua ha'ish ba'avoda v'hanefesh chavushala These are strong words. We all know it's true. When a person is koveya, that I want to live a meaningful life. Life goes by quickly, Chavra, I'm telling you. I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Who's the oldest here? Fram, how old are you? 22. 23? Okay? So when you're 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, I'm telling you, before you know it, you're going to snap your fingers, you're going to be 40. 40? It happens so fast. I have a daughter in 10th grade. I don't know how these things happen. I've been teaching YU for 10 years. I just started like yesterday. How did that happen? It's a crazy thing. So a person needs to be koveya that I want to be, it's going to be over before you know it. That I want to harness my nefesh, and wasting my time in this world is like an hour of nothingness, an hour wasted, is like an hour that I didn't live. Rabbi Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel. So Rabbi Lau is a parish on Pirkei Avos. He's a parish on Pirkei Avos, and in his parish on Pirkei Avos, he gives the following mashal. He says, I think it's called Yachel Yisrael is the name of the Sefer. So he says, a fellow came to a particular town one time. And the minhag in Jewish communities was always that the cemetery is on the outskirts of the town, the edge of the community. So he comes to town and he when he arrives at the town, he first, is near the cemetery. So he looks into the cemetery to see what type of people are from this town, get a sense, I don't know. And he sees on the matzevos, it seems like no one in this town lives very long at all. It says, here lies so-and-so. All right, he lived 12 years. This one lived 15 years. 18 years. Everyone dies young in this town. He finally finds someone who lives like 35 years. It's like Zaki and Ha'ir, He comes to the Beis Medrash. He walks into the Beis Medrash. The Mashal. He walks into the Beis Medrash and he sees it's a normal town. There's young people, there's old people, men, women, children, there's all sorts of people in the town. Young, old, middle-aged. So he asks someone, he says, is this the Gabbai in the Beis Medrash? He says, beautiful kehila you have here, beautiful neighborhood. What's with the cemetery? He says, like, no one lives past the age of, like, I don't know, 35, 40. So he said, the minhag in our town is that at the end of a person's life, we record the number of years that they actually lived. Right? How much of their life was real living? That's how long you actually lived. You think what? You think if you spent your life, if half of your life was watching football on Sunday, so that's living. That's called living. So we record as a remembrance how long the person actually lived. It's a mashal. But it's a very powerful mashal. What's considered living? Because you're breathing. While you're eating your nacho cheese watching the game on Sunday on the couch, that's drinking a beer, that's called living. Again, I don't usually speak this way. But there's a lot of truth to what the Rebbe's saying. There's a real emes to what he's saying. What's considered living a meaningful life? Being a chassid is davening and learning and being productive. It doesn't only mean davening and learning. Being a productive person who's driven, in all that he does. Okay, next paragraph. Nachzor lahanal. Let's go back to what we mentioned above. Vayihi b'yom chalos Moshe. It was when Moshe finished building the Mishkan. Uvezeh yachvosh ha'ishas atzmo ba'avoda. It's dafka when you finish the building of the Mishkan that a person again decides, am I an Eved Hashem who wants to do more? V'lotia avodaso b'stam. The sign of an Eved Hashem is that I finish the project and I take on more projects. That my avoda shouldn't be casual, stam. Here today, not in it, in it, not in it. Right? We have to learn how to harness our kochos hanefesh. Whatever it is. Whatever the project is not only talk about learning projects. Whatever you're doing, do it well. Take it seriously. If you're starting a business, if you have a good business idea, and then you realize, yeah, it's actually really complicated. Push through. You know, Lubavitcher Rebbe used to force people to finish things that he felt were not even a good choice? If someone would come to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I'm in college, and I'm thinking about dropping out of college to do something else, the Rebbe would often encourage them, force them, to finish their studies. You started something, finish it. Because it's dangerous in life to always be hopping around from one thing to the next. Guys who come to YU in the every month they're in a different shir. So you pick the shir, so stick with it. Ah, it's not exactly what I'm looking for. Okay, stick it out. Finish the semester at least. Finish the year. Right? But don't be a wishy-washy person whose life is stam. It's chaotic like that. Rakshi yachalik asavodaso lechlokim. This is very sound advice. Listen to what the Rebbe said. Look again. Second line of the third paragraph. Yechalik es avoda lechalakim. Divide up the avoda into smaller portions. V'yo'or b'kirbo ratzon legamra. If finishing a mesechta is overwhelming to you, if meseches machos 24 blot seems like a lot for you, and for some of you, maybe it's more intimidating than others, thankfully, we're not learning Bava Basra this year, so a little bit easier. So instead of learning 24 daf, learn one daf 24 times. Divide it into 24 projects. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, one time, there was a Talmud who was very much a beginner in his learning, but he wanted to feel the sense of accomplishment, of making a seal. So Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld had a single daf of Gemara, leather-bound, and he presented it to this Talmud, and he said, here's your Masechta, one dash. And he said, when you finish, you're going to make a big celebration. And they did. He said, you made a siyum. It's the first time you made a siyum in your life, right? The Rebbe made up that one daf is called a siyum, but why not? That's a siyum. It was Messiah Madaf. First time he was ever Messiah Madaf of Gemara. It was a big accomplishment for that Bachar. And so break up whatever the overwhelming project is, break it into smaller pieces, and then it'll be much more manageable. I'll tell you a great story that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky tells. It's recorded in a sefer called V'Mechitzas Rabbeinu, collections of stories and insights from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It says that one of Rav Yaakov's children, before he was in America, he used to send him, he was the Rav of a particular place, and he used to send, you had to go to the post office to pick up mail. And the post office was not, they didn't deliver mail to your house. You didn't get mail all the time. He'd go every once in a while, but he was a Rav, and he would get mail. So he would go to the post office to pick up the mail. So he would send his son to go pick up the mail. And it was a bit of a walk. It was a bit of a schlep to get to the post office. And his son didn't really love doing it, but of course he was happy. So he complained to his father one time that going to pick up the mail was, it was laborious. He didn't like the task. He wanted to do something else. Too far. Too long of a walk. So his father said to him, did you ever notice that along the road where you're walking, right, there are these like poles? I don't know what the poles were. Telephone poles? Telephone poles or some type of... There was something, there were some markers along the way. So his son said, what's your point? So he said, instead of picturing the trip as one long 3-mile walk, picture it as walking, 10, of those poles. Right? Break it up into smaller pieces. And his son said he broke it up into smaller pieces and it was much more manageable. Instead of being this one long, trip, right? You have to drive somewhere. It's a 5-hour drive. It's not a 5-hour drive. It's a 1-hour drive 5 times. Same distance, same amount of time. But it becomes less overwhelming in that way. Yeah, Rabbi Yoni. Right, right. Can I be a good Jew for one day? Can I be a good Jew for one day over and over and over again? Right? Yeah, instead of you know, morning Seder being an hour and a half, just let it be 5 minutes, a lot of times over. Can I learn for 5 minutes? Can I learn seriously for 5 minutes? So you did 5 minutes. Okay, can I learn seriously for another 5 minutes? Break it up into smaller pieces, but for those 5 minutes, whatever that shiur is that I'm committed to, see it through from beginning to end. And celebrate that I set a goal and I achieved that goal. Yeah, Dov.
Maybe it's kind of like the missionary talks about, like the person who took the Azazel and he went in the hole. He took it all the way out. There were food stands for him.
Right, right. Stops along the way.
But the missionary, I think, says that nobody ever ended up
That's right.
breaking their fast.
That's right. On Yom Kippur, the person who was taking the Sar al-Azazel, very good, out to the cliff, right, was allowed to eat along the way. They had food stands, food and drink, and places for him to rest along the way. And just knowing that he could eat that food and he had those checkpoints, right, they never broke their fast. They never needed to eat from it. But again, knowing that and having it broken down into smaller, you know, pieces of the Avodah makes it more manageable. It's a big yisod in the Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Nachman talks about it a lot also. A lot more to say, many more sources and ideas on this point, but it's a very helpful technique. Break the bigger project into smaller pieces. Yeah?
A lot of sports therapists, like baseball players go to sports psychologists, say, like, it's a lot of pressure, 160 game season, like, what it is, so the therapist says, like, instead of saying, go with
1-0, right. 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 Try to be 1-0. Try to win one game. That's it. That's the whole season. Right. To be where you are. To be where you are. Yeah, to be where you are. Yeah, obviously. So again, the Medrash made it sound like Hashem gave us the Mishkan, right? But really what the P.S.S. and Rebbe is saying is Hashem gave us a project that needed to be finished.
Not just like, oh,
and the woe of the Medrash is that when a person finishes the project, right, so what happens next? But really we should the celebration of the Mishkan is the fact that we saw the project through. And that's a very chashuv thing. The danger becomes when I don't feel that I have another project, right? That's again, a Jew should always live with a sense of there's more to do, there's more to accomplish. There's more to uplift the world. There's more people I can connect to and help. There's more Torah to learn. Right? There's more, you know, meaningful organizations to create. There's so much that a person can do. So much more to do. Yeah, David.
According to one of the parsha on what the purpose of the Mishkan was, it was a tikkun for the Egel Zahav. And Egel Zahav had happened because they felt that it was the day.
Right.
And then nothing was happening.
Right.
And so they were batala.
That's right. We're not sure what to do with that Moshe. What do we do now? We're kind of caught in that batala.
Right. So it's like, I think just it adds to the whole concept of being a tikkun for Egel Zahav.
That's right.
And then also, just, I guess, branching off the idea that all tools can be used for good and bad. So there's also the idea of,
right.
So, and you like keep on putting in more, thinking that, oh, like eventually it's going to go up, but
right.
then it never actually does, then you lose more than if you would just quit.
Correct,
at
correct.
Time.
It's many, many, many examples of that, right?
So, like, it's also just important to like know when is the right time, know like what the right forces are.
Nachon, it's a good point. It is a good point, right. Right. There is a time and a place to say this was not the right. This was not the right decision, and I have the courage to know when to call it quits. When to hold them and when to fold them. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. You have to be careful. It's not right. I mean, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe would tell a person, finish the job, even though the person felt, Rebbe, this was not a good choice, he was teaching them this lesson, but in a chanami. Right? There are many, many studies and examples of people who put $50 million into a project. And it was a failing project, so they said, "Okay, let's put another $100 million in."
Sounds like everything government does.
And if they would have just said, you know what, it was a bad investment from the beginning, Ad Khan, then it would have been much better for them.
Usually all those like Ponzi schemes start, like they don't start with the idea of stealing money. It's a bad investment.
Right. And then they're playing catch up.
Yeah.
The government ended up spending $1 trillion to go complain about them having issues that just had tons of issues.
Sometimes you gotta know just when it's not happening. Yeah. It's just not worth it. Yeah. Okay, Chava, let's do 5 more minutes. Okay? So the Rebbe says, break it up into smaller parts. Mitchila yikach lo mesechta legomra ulezachra v'yitzayir ba'atzmo eich ya me'ushar kishiyigmur v'yizkor mesechta. The Rebbe was very into picturing things, imagining things. The Rebbe was very into nevuah. So he says, at the beginning, take a mesechta that you intend to finish and to know, and yitzayir ba'atzmo, picture yourself how happy you're going to be when you finish the mesechta. Picture yourself at your own siyum, at your own celebration, of your own religious accomplishment. V'kvar yek tzas ben Torah. And think about, wow, I'll be able to be a different type of ben Torah. V'gam ba'olam ha'elyon ashrei misha balakan v'talmudo b'yado. And even in the world of truth, right? There's a saying, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, praiseworthy is the person who comes here with his Torah in his hand. Yeah? Is it Baba Kam or Baba Basra? Maybe Baba Kam. V'kvar ha'yim mizdabik b'torah v'mesechta zu. And he's clinging. He's clinging to this Torah. He's clinging to this Masechta. He's on his way to being a Ben Torah. Ukishagam rav izochra. And when he knows it, and he finishes it, al yeshe batel ki kvar gemartia. Don't sit batel because he finished it. Umali lavod od. I did my job. What more do I have to do? No. Rak vayihi b'yom chalos. When you finish building the Mishkan, as the Medrash told us, va, you should let out a sigh. Oy, woe is me if I think that I'm done. Woe to me if I think that I finished my avoda. Have I completed all of my responsibilities before my Creator? I finished one mesechta. But the Torah is endless. Again, he's not trying to overwhelm us, but he's trying to say there's a lot for us to do, and we should be motivated. Right? On the one hand, the Rebbe is saying, celebrate it like the greatest simcha in the world, and at the same time, remind yourself with humility, what is one mesechta compared to the entirety of Torah? And therefore, he accepts upon himself to want to do more. Go to the bottom paragraph. V'amishno omeres avos paragbeis. Lo alecham lochol ligmor, v'lo ata ben choren lipoter mimena. Says the Mishnah in Meseches Avos, the work is not incumbent upon you to complete, but you're also not what? You're not exempt from trying. Now, we usually understand that as meaning, okay, so I never have to really worry about finish anything, but the whole point of this piece is that we are expected to finish things. So how did the Rebbe read this Mishnah? Umali pater, what does it mean to be pater from it or to be batel from it? Imli pater milaso sosa bichlal. If you're telling me, the Mishnah is saying, don't think that you're ever, what, totally exempt. Who would ever think that they're done with Torah, that they're ever done? I'm putter. Would anyone ever think, as a Torah value, that I'm supposed to work for X number of years and then I stop, when I get to 60, I retire, I don't have to do Shabbos or Tefillin or Torah or Kosher anywhere? No one thinks that. So what's the Mishnah even saying? Based on what we explained above, we can explain. HaPerish lo alecha amlacha ligmor v'lo ata ben choren lihibatel or lihipater mimena. Hainu mi ligmor. Adrava. Tzorech ata lekabel alecha ligmor kol. Turn the page. Davar. Hein mesechtos hein chalke avoda. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to finish. You are supposed to finish projects. But you're also never supposed to think that what? That you've ever actually finished. You're not supposed to. Adrava. You should constantly take upon yourself more projects. V'lo alecha hamlacha ligmor hainu shneihem ratzalomar hamalacha lo alecha hamalacha ligmor v'lo tachsho kvar gamarti ve'ishe batal rakar chereisha kibalta chelak mimena ligmor shuv eschazik v'avoda v'kibal alecha hala avoda ligmor v'chula. What the Rebbe is saying is, on the one hand, take upon yourself the responsibility, right, to want to finish, but at the same time realize that you're never finished, that when you finish, right, when you finish, you're obligated immediately to accept upon yourself something else. So, lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. On the one hand, Lo ata ben chorin liipater mimena. You're not putter from what? From it. From the avoda of finishing, because you should finish things. You should see projects through. If you're going to Canaan, like Avraham Avinu and our Parsha, make it to Canaan. If that's your aspiration, finish it. See it through from beginning to end. Right? If you want to make Aliyah, see it through. It's like, yeah, it got complicated, so I changed my plan. Chaval. You wanted to do it. You really wanted to do it. You should have done it. You had the ability to do it. It was hard. Of course it was hard. Everything's hard. So lo alecham lachal ligmor, don't think that you're ever... And when you achieve that goal, don't think you're done. But don't abandon that goal either. Try to see it through from beginning to end. In conclusion, chaver, 2 minutes left. Ha'avoda, next paragraph. Ha'avodahi ha'reishis va'ikir shalayadus va'chasidus. Again, in one sentence, the Rebbe says, what's it all about? Being an Eved Hashem, being an Oved, being a worker who's always working. Rachas Kohanim. Rashi translates Kohanim as workers. We have to be a nation of workers, diligent people. Va'ikir shalayadus va'chasidus. The essence of Judaism, particularly Chasidus Baal Shem Tov, is to what? Is to be a worker. Hu yizbarach tamir v'nelam u'bebriyas ha'olamos gilas ha'aras kedusha. So Hashem is hidden from us. And yet Hashem reveals Himself to us through what? Through avoda. Through working. Bama gila ba'avoda. L'chein misha po'el va'oved. Mamshich lo asachiyus ha'kedusha mimarom. When you become a worker, you're being like Hashem. Who's a builder, who's a worker. U'misha eino oved ein lo chiyus ha'kedusha. But a person who's not a worker, unfortunately, lacks this kedusha. Next paragraph. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, I'll summarize it because it's late. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that when does the Yetzirah enter a person's body? At the time that he's born. Because if the Yetzirah entered a person when you were still in your mother's womb, you'd be kicking to get out. Why would you be kicking to get out? Usually the Yetzirah tells you to do something the opposite of what you're supposed to do. Why do you want to get out? Why would you be kicking to get out? Says the Rebbe, why are you kicking to get out? Right? Is a person commanded to stay in? That the Yetzirah is trying to seduce him to get out? So what does that mean? So he explains, the Rebbe says, because when you're sitting in the mother's womb, right, a person is learning with a malach. And that's very gevaldik. That's very, very gevaldik. But as soon as you encounter the Yetzirah, you realize that being inspired by a malach is not gonna do it. When the Yetzirah enters my life, I have to what? I have to get out and work. It has to come from me. And therefore there's a sense of what? Let's say it's v'lavod. I want to get out and I need to get out there and work. To fight the Yetzirah, it's not possible without a voda. I can't just sit and listen to my Rebbe's shir and expect to defeat the Yetzirah. I have to wage battle myself against the Yetzirah. So now in conclusion, says the Rebbe, let's go back to where we started. What was the pasuk we began with? Look at the last paragraph of the piece. V'zeh shemaram is a pasuk. Ki im shamur tishmurun es kol ha-mitzvah azos la-asosa l'leches b'chol d'rachav. So we ask the question, is the goal to kol d'rachav? Is the avoda to do everything? Or is the avoda that what? Shamur tishmurun es ha-mitzvah azos, to focus on this particular mitzvah. And of course the answer is obvious to us at this point. Hein tzrichim l'kayim es kol ha-torah. Yes, a Jew needs to live with a sense of there's always more to do, and I always want to fulfill everything. Aval kishirotzim letakin es atzmo yoser, shamur tishmurun. But if I want to what? If I want to fix myself that much more, shamur tishmurun. Beis pa'amim, mishmeres lemishmarti. What does that mean? Az techalku as a mitzvah lepratios, v'tikru b'chol pa'am mitzvah achas legoma. Yes, I have to have this general attitude that I want to accomplish everything. But it's too theoretical. So the Torah is giving us a focus. The Torah says what? As a mitzvah azos, shamur tishmarun, as a mitzvah azos. Take a particular mitzvah and guard it carefully. Break it up into small pieces. Set particular goals. See it through that this particular mitzvah, I'm able to see it from beginning to end. Vishuv mitzvah, and then another mitzvah, piece by piece. Uvezeh tuchlu la'alos. And in this way, a person will accomplish unbelievable things. So I have to be a big picture Jew, and I also have to be a Jew who takes each mitzvah so seriously, takes each opportunity seriously. I cannot learn Makro seriously because I'm scared that how will I ever learn Bava Basra? Or I could say right now I'm learning Makos. Not only that, I'm learning Makos Dav Gimel. That's my whole achrayus in the world. Nothing else matters right now. And when I finish that, then I say, celebrate that accomplishment and take it upon yourself. I'm going to finish something else. I'm going to finish Makos Dav Dalit. I'm going to finish Makos Dav Hei. And I do it with a passion and a commitment. Not to be a batlan. not to be a person who's casual about his life. We always think a bittul Torah just means like, you know, not. It's more than that. Don't be casual about your life. Take yourself seriously. That's what the Rebbe is saying to us. Okay, we should all be zocha to finish our task from beginning to end, like Avraham Avinu. No?